And earlier on Morning Report, we spoke to Carl Pearce and Professor Chris Gallivan about free speech. This, of course, off the back of Don Brash being banned from speaking at Massey University. We're joined now by some student leaders, past and present, the journalist Simon Wilson, Dr. Ella Henry from AUT, and also critic magazine editor at Otago University, Joel McManus, to talk about this further. Good morning.
Kia ora.
Good morning.
Joel, I might start with you, because I suppose you are most recently the person who's been at the sharp end of censorship. This was after the menstruation issue of Critic magazine got dumped. Do you think Massey's done the right thing here?
I mean, it's the Streisand effect, isn't it? You try to ban something, people just want it more. We saw that with our magazine. You know, we had 2,000-odd copies destroyed, but that led to 80,000 more viewers on our website. And I think that's exactly the same thing that happens here, and Massey should have predicted that.
Okay, so if I can come to you, Ella, on this.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, does this amount to censorship when, from his speech notes, it looks like Dr. Brash was simply going to be talking about his career?
Well, I think universities, first and foremost, are the home of wide and diverse thought. And I remember that from my student politics days. We had a number of, you know, speakers who were highly contentious. So on that basis, I do think that Massey has probably created more of a spin for Don Brash than actually tried to make a moral stand. I do think universities are the place where you have highly contentious speakers and thought.
Simon, you're actually going to be talking about free speech, not about his career, but actually about this issue with Don Brash tonight.
I am.
You're in this debate at Auckland University. What are you going to say to him?
Well, I'm going to say a whole lot of things. I guess the first thing is that I'm very pleased to be standing on a university campus to be talking about this and to be talking about it with people who have views that are very different from my own. Now, I think that's an important function of a university. I'm going to be saying that I don't... The topic that we're going to be debating with teams each is that political correctness has gone too far, that it's impinging on free speech. I'm going to be arguing that that's nonsense, that political correctness is a pejorative term for... used by people who don't like other people trying to get some degree of respect and openness into a conversation, and that free speech itself is awash in the world. I don't think you could characterise the way in which we debate things these days as everybody's being shut down. I think on the contrary, everybody's got something to say. They get to say it these days in all sorts of ways.
I notice in Don Brash's letter of the 7th of August to the Free Speech Coalition supporters that all of the people that he picks out that he's wanting to uphold or help uphold free speech are all people that you could characterise as being on the right of the spectrum. Douglas Murray, Nigel Farage, Pauline Hanson and Jordan Peterson.
That happens to be true. And of course, although Don Brash has repeatedly says he's doing this for free speech, he says he supported the rights of Southern and Molyneux to speak, not because he believed what they were saying, but because of their right to speak. Don Brash, of course, as you all know, Susie, was very uncomfortable at RNZ using free speech to introduce Te Reo on the radio.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that actually with Ella, if I can bring you in at this point. And this is something that Peter has been in touch with on text, I think, with us. As well, he's saying, why, if Don Brash is so hot on free speech, how come he objects to a few words spoken in Māori on the radio? How did someone who opposes the national broadcaster using one of the national languages become the standard bearer for free speech, do you think, Ella?
What I think is most interesting about Don Brash's stance on Te Reo is that his position was so extraordinary that it started a conversation that continues today around, in a very positive way. I mean, I don't know that he meant to do it, but he's gotten more people talking about why Te Reo was important than if he'd come out and said Te Reo was important himself. So, you know, big ups to you, Don Brash, on that one.
So you're quite pleased he did it?
Well, I mean, he's so contentious, and I sometimes wonder, because I've appeared with him a couple of times, and he's such a charming fellow when you meet him in person. And then he opens his mouth and these extraordinary things come out, which don't expect to come out of the mouth of a man whom you believe to be quite intelligent. And I sometimes wonder if it's because he quite likes the spotlight that he creates with these contentious statements. But as a result, a direct result of his audio speech and his Te Reo comments, he's actually stimulated people to stand up and support Māori and speak more of Te Reo.
Joel, coming back to you, what is perhaps the current student view of Don Brash and of some of the things he says, but also the way that his statements do often appear to end up causing an awful lot of debate?
I mean, speaking for myself and the student population that I can, like, no one likes Don Brash. No, I think Don Brash is frankly quite a pathetic figure, really. He's been making the same Orewa speech since 2004, and every time he goes around, less and less people care. And you saw that exactly when he tried to make comments about Radio New Zealand, and he was resoundingly generally rejected. Critic Magazine, in fact, actually did an interview with Don Brash early 2017, and in it, he made some comment, something along the lines of, "I have no doubt that the majority of people agree with me," which just came across as either delusional or, yeah, quite pathetic, really.
Simon, do you remember anything like this, anything as significant as what is going on now, happening when you were at university?
It was quite some time ago. I remember very boisterous, vigorous debates. Springbok tour was around the same time. There was so much debate all the time. That student life was characterised by debate, and I'm not sure that's really gone away now.
Kia ora, all of you. Thank you for your time. It's Simon Wilson, the journalist there. We were speaking with Dr. Ella Henry of AUT as well, and also Critic Magazine editor Joel McManus.